Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.
Today's program is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. Did you know that Wisconsin is home to the nation's only Master Cheesemakers program that provides innovative cheesemakers with continuing education opportunities? To learn more, visit wisconsincheese.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hello, and welcome to Cutting the Curd. This is your host, Elena Santigade. Cheese retail is super close to my heart. I still remember the first 5 minutes I had behind the first cheese counter I worked, and I've never felt such a, like, this is where I'm meant to be type of feeling. Now, retailing, as any mongers out there know, is also incredibly hard. It's long hours, it's physical, and it's also customer-facing. So if you're doing it right, your body hurts at the end of the day, and that includes all the muscles in your face. Now, thankfully, there is a yin-yang element at play here. I still get dreamy-eyed about the vibes that exist between a friendly neighborhood cheesemonger and regulars. It's a special rhythm that you get to feel as a retailer. You understand the ebbs and flows of seasons differently, and even the daily cycles like reveal these nuances not obvious to regular schmoes. Plus, here in New York City, there are just so many characters who cross your path if you're a retailer. And if you have good coworkers, that is the best. You might have the most fun of your whole life. So all of this said, I am super excited to have the retailers and mongers behind Bell Cheese, Aggie Hashenko, owner-operator, and Claire Widmer, head cheesemonger, here in the studio with me today. Welcome, Aggie and Claire.
Thank you.
So it's almost the 1 year anniversary of the DeKalb Market where Bell Cheese has their vendor shop. Aggie, I know you'd been trying for a while to bring your dream of opening a cheese shop into reality. Almost over 4 years, I think.
A long time.
Probably like feels even.
Many babies.
Many. So from what I know of that journey, I was ecstatic when you finally found a spot for it in the market. And, you know, why don't you take our listeners with you from idea, cheese dream, to like actual brick and mortar market spot.
Okay. So I think going back to like 2012, 2013, 2013 was when I actually like solidified. April 2013, mm-hmm. Was when I wanted to do it.
That's when you wanted to open the shop.
Yeah,
that was your goal.
In April of 2013. I went immediately from like, I was actually listening to Anne Saxelby on Cutting the Curd.
On this show.
And I was sitting on the Staten Island ferry heading to work to Staten Island.
You can really have some good ideas on that ferry,
yeah.
I gotta say.
And I was like, am I seriously making this commute again? And I'm like, where am I going to be in 5 years?
Yeah.
And, you know, some things had just like sort of clicked at that moment. I mean, the short story is I'd always worked in food since I moved to New York for college. I went to NYU and had like a million jobs in food, even though I was a history major. And
there's a lot of history involved.
Totally. From, you know, like restaurants to barista to internships to like HarperCollins internships. Like I was trying to figure it out the whole time.
Right.
But I come from an immigrant background and it was very like, you have to get an education.
Right. So more traditional.
Exactly.
Role.
So you're either going to be like a doctor, a lawyer, or engineer.
Like a brain doctor?
Like a brain doctor. Yeah. It's my brother.
Cheesemonger was not exactly on that list.
No, no. My parents were like, huh? So yeah. And, I guess sort of like the food bite, not necessarily the cheese, like bug, it never went away. Hmm. And then I sort of narrowed down cheese through a variety of means and soul searching. And and then, you know, I came from it a perspective of I'm going to open a shop, not that I want to get a part-time job in cheese and see what happens.
It was like, always the goal, like even before you step behind a counter.
Yeah. Like, I don't really know why. I think it was just because I wanted something for myself. Mm. And I'd worked so many jobs in food, not in cheese, but in food before.
Right.
And I was already in my early 30s and was just like, I need something for me that's not going to be for somebody else.
Your own turf.
Exactly. I mean, my mom owns her own business. She's a doctor, which obviously has nothing to do with that, but I'd seen how hard she worked.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it's still hers. Mm. And any mistakes she makes or... you know, obviously positive things that happen, it's because of her.
Yeah.
It's
pretty powerful.
Yeah. You know, and it's, you know, cheesy as it sounds, it is sort of like the American dream, right?
Yeah.
Fast forward to now where I'm like, I'm so tired.
The American dream. Your face hurts.
Yeah. So yeah. And then I knew I needed to start learning about like business, and I knew I needed to start learning about cheese. Mm. I'd worked in a ton of restaurants and had a ton of fine dining experience.
But retail, any retail?
You know, I can't remember now. I mean, I'd been working in food since I was 18. I don't think like specific retail in food.
Right. But everybody sort of interacts with retail a lot, especially if you're in New York City.
Yeah.
It's sort of like retail is happening so close to where you are all the time.
Absolutely.
I feel like, right.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of realized that like, the thing I love most about, I love to travel and I love to live in New York and I love going to small little independent shops, whether they're cheese or just something like quirky. And I wanted to bring like a neighborhood feel and a level of hospitality that was sort of not fine dining-esque like white, you know, tablecloth, but I felt that it was often lacking in certain shops I went to. And to be greeted with a like, hey, what's up? Right. And like, that's not how I want to be greeted when I come in. And
so you were sort of developing an ethos as a retailer.
Yeah. Not even knowing it, to be honest.
Hmm.
And then, so I, you know, fast forward to like begged Anne Saxelby for months if I could like shadow it. It was really hard. I mean, I was working full time Monday through Friday as an attorney. So eventually she conceded and let me come in for a trail. And then I just would kind of come in whenever I could, and did that on and off for a few years.
As you were sort of solidifying these plans for a shop.
Yeah. And then I started looking for a space, which was like soul searching and demoralizing too. I did like every class Murray's had to offer for a year because they had, I don't know if they still have it, but they had a thing where you could volunteer, and take the class for free. If
That's
you did
awesome.
All the cleanup and all the breakdown. So I wanted to learn about like the wine and the cheese.
Right.
And then, you know, sort of paying my way through education through San Francisco Cheese School had an amazing professional program that I did. That was really like the best thing I did for myself. And then I did, Sue Sturman has a program. I did her London Cheesemonger program, which was just phenomenal. It ended up being 4 days in London, and a couple of the students couldn't make it at the last minute. So it was myself, Sue, another student, and another teacher for 4 days.
Wow. Oh, my
it
gosh.
It was amazing.
Really focused.
Yeah. Very focused.
And so you also were, you mentioned you were working full-time as an attorney, which gave you, I'm sure, some flexibility in terms of, like, funding these endeavors and being able to...
Well,
you know,
in theory, everyone thinks like lawyers are loaded. It's just like the reality is it's not true.
Interesting.
I worked for corp counsel. Which
bust
is,
this
yeah,
myth.
Yeah, let's bust this
the myth.
If you work for like a large firm, you make a lot of money.
Right.
If you, I worked as a city attorney making not a lot of money for 5.5 years.
Right.
And even at, you know, working at small firms, you make okay money. You don't make great money. And the reality is most attorneys nowadays, we still have, like, I'm 11 years in and I have a ton of student debt still.
Right. Really interesting.
So
you were really prioritizing this stuff. This wasn't just like,
I really was.
Extra no nonsense sort of cash flow. This was like real.
Yeah. I mean, money I you were carving out extra jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always worked a second job, and just like squirreled everything away.
Wow.
And I'm very frugal.
Except when it comes to Lullabelle.
So yes, it's my dog. The shop is named after her.
Oh, nice. Yes. She gets spoiled.
Money
she's
is no object. She is. She's a total princess.
So then I'm going to fast forward you now. Because we'll talk a little bit more about the market and sort of how you landed on the space that Belle Cheese is currently in and at DeKalb Market. But so you opened just shy of a year ago.
Yes.
You're about to come up on the year anniversary.
June 16th.
And our other guest here in the studio, Claire, joins your team. And
yes.
Claire, you joined when the store was pre-opening, right?
Yeah.
And this part of why, listeners, part of why I wanted Aggie and Claire on the show is because they're dynamic. If you haven't been to Belle Cheese, is electrifying, is totally inspiring. It's really fun. You can tell they're just having a blast behind the counter. So tell me a little bit about, Claire, your leap of faith in opening a new shop with a brand new shop owner and those very early days before you kind of unlocked the counter there.
Yeah. So I heard about it through another friend, and we had a bunch of emails before we met. And the first time we met, we talked for almost 2 hours.
Wow.
And I was like, I love her. I want to work with her.
So it was like an instant personality connection.
And the second time we met, I ordered nachos. And she said, this is it.
I was like, she's hired.
It was a love of nachos that brought Aggie and Claire together.
Yeah. We just had the same ideas and the way we wanted things to be run and the same aesthetic. And the first day we trained, we didn't really, even though I've had a lot of training experience, we didn't talk about how we were going to go about it. We just did it, and we did it the same way. And one of the other business owners was like, I've never seen anything like that. And we didn't have a plan. We just talked to them how we wanted it to be done, and we did it the same way. And it felt really good and like just clicked immediately.
And was part of it for you, Claire, like, so you have been at a few cheese counters. Yeah. I'm sure many
this
of our listeners.
This is my fifth counter.
And
my fifth year.
In your fifth year, which is pretty good average for cheesemongering, I have to say so myself. Yeah. And I think, you know, you had been in a number of different settings. I mean, I know you most from Brooklyn Larder, which was also my first cheese shop I ever worked at.
Yeah.
And also then Eataly, which, like, those are two hugely different settings. Was part of it sort of Aggie's approach to the hospitality side of things, the size of the business? Like, what elements at this point after you'd been through five counters, what were you looking for?
I really wanted to work somewhere smaller and where I could make an impact and I knew that my voice would be heard. Mm. And I also wanted to work for a woman. I was ready to, like, we make all the decisions together and she values my opinion, and the way we do things is way easier without, there's no strife, and we've never had a fight. She's my best friend. It's amazing.
So cool. And so, and on the hospitality side, were you also looking for that more, a little bit more of a, like, intentional, the not quite white gloves, but sort of fine dining inspired?
Yeah, I like that we're small. We have so many regulars. Being able to talk to a person every day makes such a big difference. And we literally have a group of 10 people who just come to see us.
That's amazing.
You know, the cheese is almost secondary now because they just want to see us.
It's so fun.
And then, you know, selling them a bunch of cheese is also great.
Yeah, that's a nice addition.
The approach we have is really that we want it to be an experience and that they leave happy. And we get that every day, and it's really wonderful.
It's also really unique, and we'll, after the break, again, we'll get into this more, but it's really unique to create that experience amidst, I mean, how many vendors are right in your vicinity?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like almost, well, there's almost 40 vendors, I think, in
total,
the hall.
Right.
And so we're surrounded by like five.
It's like five or six. Right,
yeah,
and
right
it's
there.
Right up against yeah. you yeah. guys. So to create this little environment of like happiness and fun is pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
It feels good every day going to work.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
When you do sort of focus on staffing and operations of the shop, what are your secrets to keeping it fun? Because that can get heavy and sort of intense and territorial. You know, there's such a direction that could go that could be rough.
It's not territorial at mm-hmm. all because there's no territory.
Like 100-something square feet.
Yeah.
So that helps.
Stocked to the brim. We started with a really good team that we trained one-on-one with all of them at the same time.
That's
and,
huge.
And at the beginning, they were almost all of them full-time.
Wow.
So being able to start from scratch with these people who had not necessarily worked in cheese but had food experience and were willing to listen and learn and wanted to learn made a big difference.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's... I mean, I'm not looking specifically for people that have cheese experience. If they do, that's great. And we're actually hiring right now.
Uh-huh. Listeners, yes. Bell Cheese.
For me, it's completely has to be a personality click.
Right.
I mean, that's what it is with Claire. Like, I knew already that for my, like, right-hand woman, which she is, I yeah. knew she had great experience. And, in fact, more counter experience than I did.
Yeah.
I was looking for someone that would mesh well with me, that I wanted to be around with all day.
Right. That's so crucial.
I mean,
right?
You're working 5 feet apart from each other at, like, the right. farthest different, at the farthest length, right? I don't want to, and, you know, of course we've had some issues, but we've had almost no turnover, and
great.
It's also one of those things where so I'll have a conversation. I'm very frank, and I have no problem, you know, telling one of my employees, like, hey, if there's an issue, you can discuss it with me, or you can take it outside, think about it, and then come back with a better attitude, because
right.
I don't, everything, we're like an open kitchen,
yeah.
you know? Right. And there's no place to hide.
Right. We have no walls.
No walls.
One wall.
One wall.
I picked a spot without
you can't really
walls.
Use yeah. that wall for hiding in any way, shape,
yeah.
or form.
No. Yeah. You have to be on. And we cultivated that with the team.
Yeah.
They are wonderful.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the moment when we're going to take a little break.
Okay.
And then coming back, we're going to chat about the market and what it's like to be a vendor shop in the midst of all these other food stalls, which I'm sure you have things to say about that.
No comment.
And yeah, so listeners, we're going to be back with more from Aggie and Claire and Bell Cheese.
Today's program was brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. What do you think of when you hear Wisconsin cheese? For me, I think cheese curds. Delicious, fresh and squeaky cheese curds. Or deep fried cheese curds. Cheese curds literally any way, anytime, any place. I think about Andy Hatch and Uplands Cheese, the Farmstead Cheese Company behind Pleasant Ridge Reserve. I think of delicious stinky Limburger and its long storied history. I think of Dunbarton Blue, made by master cheesemaker Chris Raleigh. I think of Ross Grand Cru Sirchois, which was named 2016's World Championship Cheese, and Satori's Black Pepper Bellavitano, the 2017 U.S. Championship Cheese. Wisconsin produces the world's best cheese, with lush grasslands and a glacial water supply that produce the very best milk. Fourth-generation cheesemakers combine old-world tradition with new ideas and the highest standards to make innovative cheeses that win more awards than any other state or country. To learn more, visit wisconsincheese.com.
Welcome back to Cutting the Curd. So I'm here with Aggie Hashenko and Claire Widmer of Bell Cheese talking about the joys and occasional sorrows of retailing. Bell Cheese is one vendor shop among many, many food vendors in the new DeKalb Market in downtown Brooklyn. If you haven't been, it's like, make sure you go hungry. and I don't even know what to say. Just
you should know where the bathroom is. Oh,
good call.
There's a secret bathroom, floor 1A.
Oh my gosh.
Don't give it up.
Okay, well, now that's it. The bathroom's no longer secret. So as a lifelong New Yorker, this type of market is definitely new for me. I mean, I think of the DeKalb Market and others like it. It's like the Gotham Market and the food stalls in Grand Central are kind of similar. They're kind of like urban food malls in a way,
yeah.
Which, I mean, on the one hand, I really love because I go there and I'm like, I'm going to have one of those. And then I'm going to have a completely different cuisine. And I haven't moved but 10 steps. And I'm really excited about that. And the other one, it's like a little disorienting on the other side for me. So, you know, I guess I'm curious from a retailer's perspective. We talked a little bit in the first half, Aggie, about your journey to this dream of owning your own shop. I would assume that a market shop would have cost benefits to it, especially as you're first getting started. Just like from soup to nuts, I would imagine it is a more forgiving way to launch a food retail business, but I don't really know that for sure. Is that what you've experienced? Was that your expectation?
Hindsight is 2020.
Yeah, right? I mean,
I am like a total realist. I like to call myself like an optimist with like pessimistic undertones, although I probably lean more towards pessimism. I am actually, and it still kind of blows my mind, surprised at how challenging it has been financially. Mm. You know, we do really well on the weekends. Mm-hmm. Weekdays are really tough there. We're also trying to differentiate ourselves mm-hmm. amongst, there's not a lot of retailers there. And right. There's a Trader Joe's there, which I actually don't think hurts us. I think it has phenomenal potential to help us.
Right.
And I know, you know, they're doing crazy sales there. Mm-hmm. I think like this market in so many ways has like a European, it could be like a European way to shop where right. you go to, there's a phenomenal baker there.
Right.
Then you walk, you know, 15 feet, you're at the cheesemonger. My friend sells fish there. You can buy fresh fish to go home.
Pickles.
Right. Cause it does seem like the draw initially is for like snacks, the foods to eat yeah. right in the moment.
But there are a lot of people right. who live nearby and don't right. have that experience of like a small shop.
Right. Because downtown Brooklyn is not exactly known for its like small, high yeah. quality butchers yeah. or cheese shops.
I actually live in the neighborhood and mm-hmm. which is like a saving grace because of the hours I work. Yeah. And this market has legitimately changed the entire dynamic and food scene of the neighborhood. It's really been a ghost town. I've lived in that neighborhood for 8 years since 2010 mm-hmm. and there was no place to get anything to eat mm-hmm. that was good.
Right.
You had to either walk into like Fort Greene or Brum right. Hill.
And I don't know what other grocery store there is near there.
Not good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The other day I had a customer who I'd never seen before and he obviously knew about cheese and I was like, well, how did you find us? He said, I Googled you.
Wow.
I Googled cheese shops near me and he found us that way. And we're going to have a regular. We have like a little card system they had created and we write their names in the cheese they've had. So if Aggie and I are not there or someone doesn't remember what they've had, we can write it down. And every time you write their name, you mm-hmm. create a regular and
that's
he's
so going to
come
great.
Back and we'll remember what he bought last time.
Especially because as every cheesemonger knows, there's that question you get of like, I had a cheese. Yeah. What was that?
We used to get a lot of, I had a cheese that was rolled in blueberries. I'm like, you definitely did not buy it here.
It was really good.
It was white.
So
we keep track.
Oh, that's great. So then in terms of the financial sort of challenges, has it been more of like, customer, you know, have you felt like you want traffic to?
Sorry, I'm looking at her face.
Claire's like, Aggie can answer this one. Is it more about that weekday traffic in there, or have the like brick and mortar costs been more than you know you expected?
Yeah, the brick and mortar costs are significantly more than I expected because of the gross revenue. Mm. And labor is expensive in New York. And if you mm-hmm. want to have good people, you have to pay for them.
Right.
And I would love to be able to pay everybody more.
Right.
But the reality is I just can't. Mm-hmm. And we just need more business. There are certain businesses there that are killing it. And there are certain businesses there that are struggling. And I think for us, it's really hard. Like, on the weekdays during lunch, we're not like Chelsea Market, we don't have a lot of tourism, and we really need tourism on the weekdays.
Right.
And I don't think the business community, for whatever reason, aside from a few of the businesses, has embraced the market in the way that I think many of us thought it would.
And is there business, is there commercial space above you in that building, or is it residential?
There is some commercial space in like the building kind of associated with it. But I mean, there's like something like 50,000 office workers in the area.
Wow.
I mean, within a few blocks. Right. I'm not even talking about like on the other side of J Street.
New York is so crazy.
It's really weird. And I mean, I think, and not just with us. I mean, actually, we don't really get this, interestingly enough, for lunch. Other vendors do. People, you know, the initial complaints were like, oh, you're too expensive. The whole market is too expensive. Everybody wants to eat lunch for 10 bucks or less.
Right.
But with all due respect, if you go to Chipotle and you get a burrito and you add guacamole, it's like 12 bucks. Yeah. So, and a lot of the vendors have really good options. I don't know what the solution is, frankly, for that.
Maybe it's also, I think, you know, I always, the shops that I opened, I always said, you know, a 3-year scope is definitely what you have to have. But even just after that first year, it's like people relax into it. Then suddenly the expectation, it kind of becomes more of a worn path in that way of like people aren't as shocked. They've seen the value. They've gotten accustomed to it.
Yeah. I also think people don't think, you know, they'll order a $14 lunch and they don't think about that. Like, you're also paying someone's salary who made that from scratch.
Right.
You know, and they don't always figure in that everything we sell is handmade. Every cheese and every jam, we hand select, and they don't figure in the cost of getting it there.
Right. It's like when you're comparing prices of lunches, it's not apples to apples at all. So would you say, Aggie, that, you know, in the end, you think it was a better deal, like an easier lift to open a shop in a market like this? Or would you... I knew that you had done a lot of research for a standalone brick and mortar too.
I mean, it's a mixed bag, right? Like a standalone would be great. People ask us, we were just talking about this before we started. People ask us all the time, where's your real store? Which is insulting.
Such a weird question because listeners, if you go to the DeKalb Market and you see the Bell Cheese Shop, it is a cheese shop.
Yeah.
So I don't know it's what that question even means.
Things. Yeah.
They ask us every day.
So bizarre.
Yeah.
It's very odd. But no, I mean, so I think I really do believe in this market and this hall and in what Claire and I have created. I just think the financials either are going to take time or, you know, they're not, and we'll have to figure out another location, which I don't want to do.
Right.
I have lots of things I'd love to do in a bigger space, you know, that would allow people to sit down and hang out and have a glass of wine.
Have classes.
Yeah. Mm. We have so many regulars that like, it's so fun when they come and like hang out
and really want to chat about
really
the cheese.
Really want to hang out and like eat, you
that's
know?
That's really fun.
That is like the best part. You know, we have some regulars where it's like, you know, Christmas and Hanukkah, like every Friday when they roll in.
Yeah.
This one's for you, Bill.
Aww, Bill.
We need people to remember that cheese isn't just for the holidays. We need them to come all the time.
Right.
You know? Yeah, buy something delicious on Tuesday.
Cheese is for Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Every day.
And Thursday.
It really is. That's the biggest thing. Like, it's funny. My friend owned a business down on Smith Street, which she ended up closing after a few years. And I remember at her party, a lot of people were taught, like her ending party, a lot of people were like, oh, I used to love this place and that place, but I hadn't been in 6 months.
Yeah.
Well, obviously it closed.
Oh, you got to go.
And when you're a neighborhood place, like, come all the time. You don't have to spend 50 bucks every time. Yeah. I mean, we'd love it if you do. But, you know, come like, we're pleasant. We're fun to be around.
Right.
Come get like a $6 piece of cheese on a daily basis. And that's like dessert.
Right.
You know?
Totally. And I always say to people, you know, it's so funny talking about comparing apples to apples with lunches. It's also like, people say, oh, that piece of cheese is so expensive. I'm like, it's the cost of a beer.
Yeah.
You know, a quarter pound is like the same as your fancy beer.
A beer in the hall is like $9.
Yeah. So what?
Yeah.
And it'll probably last you longer. You'll get more out of it. Although I love beer. So that's okay. But have both.
But it's interesting. And I actually really, I guess I didn't understand it, but this like cost benefit analysis that frankly makes just no sense to me where people will go, they'll get like a drink and whatever lunch they got and they'll drop 20 bucks and they'll go to another vendor and then they'll come and complain about the cost of artisanal cheese.
Right.
And I'm like, what?
Maybe it's also like spending fatigue and it's just rotten luck. They like land on at one vendor shop and they're like, I've just, that's it. I've had it.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Oh, I love a good jinx. Okay, so I can't believe it, but we're almost out of time. Uh-huh. And I want to ask you each one more question, which is always my favorite question to ask. And we'll start with you, Claire.
Yeah.
Since Aggie is taking a sip of her water. What advice would you give to other mongers who are looking for a great post, you know, who are looking to feel the way that you feel about Aggie and to be as committed to the place that they're working in?
I think finding Aggie is like one in a million. So
he's always trying to make me cry.
I'm hoping that you both cry as we go out in my final sentence.
I think that like just going for it, you know, if you're, you know, our community is so small, we all know each other, and wanting to stay in what you're doing is really important, and like feeling that you're needed and that you matter is really hard, and when you can find that, you just have to hold on.
Great.
Yeah.
So true. All right, Aggie, what advice would you give to owners, to I'm sure listeners out there have the cheese dream that you had and are nervous and scared and feel like they have to be, you know, I'm glad we like busted the high paid attorney myth, because I think a lot of people think they need to have some sort of like crazy amount of wealth to do it. It's like, what would you say to people who are feeling like it might be out of reach, but they're really into it?
I mean, I think you have to like really want it and then go for it. I mean, this literally, I saved for this for years.
Right.
And then once I found a spot, I signed to participate in this market in 2015. We didn't open until 2017, if that tells you anything. So that was 2 years.
So patience is a virtue here.
It really
is. Perseverance.
And trying to find a good person. I mean, I'm really lucky that I found someone like Claire that I mesh with so well. She's literally crying here, people.
Listeners, Claire is crying.
But, you know, really finding someone that you trust and that really cares and that you want to be 5 feet away from every day at work is
so that's crucial.
You're sweating over raclette.
Yes, totally.
Oh, you guys.
We're going to make you cry.
No, I'm going to cry. All right. Well, my goodness. Listeners, if you haven't been and you are in New York, you need to go to Bell Cheese. Go on a weekday. Then you can have extra time to hang out with Aggie and Claire. But go whenever, because it really is a remarkable shop that they've created. And it's a really fun experience to check out the DeKalb Market. Thanks to you both for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
I'm Elena Santigade, and we'll be back next week with more Cutting the Curd.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
I prayed each night for someone exactly like you.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.